From October 20th to October 29th, WVLP's Jim Wolf accompanied 12 local business and civic leaders to China as guests of the Confucius Institute at Valparaiso University. This week, WVLP is broadcasting his observations from the trip.
When the delegation of 12 business and civic leaders from Valpo University went to China, schools were a large part of the agenda. Besides having representatives from the university, the delegation included Dee Hacklin, the Vice Chancellor for Ivy Tech's Valparaiso campus. Many in the delegation were interested in education, and the Chinese are very interested in foreigners when it comes to their education system. They began learning English young, and the universities pursue both foreign teachers and connections with foreign colleges. Valparaiso University Assistant Provost Renu Junaja explains.
It's not that they are very fluent in English, but now in high school, they start learning English in, I think, fourth or fifth grade. Every student does. There's a great deal of emphasis. Our students now, when they come here, find internships. They're unpaid internships, but they're real internships. They do work for many of the companies. They're using them. They want to absorb them. They want to learn from them, and they use them.
The first school we visited was Hangzhou No. 10 Middle School, founded in 1806 before Abraham Lincoln was born. Our visit was unexpected for the students, but well received, and the students from grade 7 to grade 9 were happy to share their lessons with us.
One of the things that I was impressed with, we had an opportunity to go to what we would call a high school here. Actually, their high school is in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, equivalent to ours. And there were 50 students in a class. And one of the things that we discovered, that English is a mandatory required course that they start teaching at 10 years of age. So when a young person becomes 10 years of age, they start taking English. It was obvious that when we got to interact with the students, they all really were excited about getting to practice their English with some people who predominantly, that's all we could speak, would be English. So I was very impressed.
Officials at the school confirmed what I learned from guidebooks and educators. In China, they stress rote memorization. Students stay in one classroom all day, and the different teachers come to them. However, they're expected to learn a lot quickly and become competitive fast. Dee Hacklin noted,
I don't know how widespread their education is for their people. I think it's, you know, from what we saw in the large cities, of course, all cities are large over there, but in the large cities, they do have access, but I don't know what kind of accessibility they have to education in the interior of the country.
The competitiveness also made an impression on Matt Murphy, Economic Development Director for Valparaiso.
We visited schools the last time I was here, and you can just tell being around their kids, they're very hungry, they're competitive. They realize that you've got to have an edge in this world more than I think than Americans do. But I think we're getting it, and that's what's beneficial about traveling those years. We can go back and tell everybody about what we saw and how it is that we live in a global economy. I mean, the world is changing at a fast pace.
The competitiveness continues through the university level. China ranks its colleges, and how well students do on a one-time test determines which, if any, college they get into. Zhejiang University of Science and Technology, a lower-rated university, was founded in 1980. Both it and Zhejiang University of Technology, a 55-year-old university that is one of the highest-rated schools, are expanding both physically and in programs. The University of Science and Technology began with cooperating with Germany, especially on their engineering programs. They now have partnerships with 4 universities worldwide, having both student exchange and faculty exchange. Fan Li, the Deputy Director of International Cooperation and Exchange, explained,
we just keep learning from each other, and we just find ways to cultivate students to meet the need of society. We are going to recruit more students and, well, to extend our cooperation to other countries in multi models. I think nowadays, because of the internationalization and globalization, everybody realized it is necessary to do international cooperation in education.
Globalization is an advantage to China, but the country also assists those it is surpassing. As Kent Kai, office manager of the International College at the University of Science, described it, the partnerships his university has with more than 20 other countries creates a flow of beneficial knowledge.
We have students from all over the country to have further study in our university. They are coming from more than 20 countries. We will communicate, you know, different countries have their own traditional, and they will be good at their own subject or major. We can learn something from the other country, and as well we can learn some advanced things from other countries. And we also have students from some countries which are poor or which are not quite good. We can teach them and help them to be powerful in the future, and they can do help to their own country.
Although there's a reverence for education, this is not just education for the sake of education. Learning in China has become a major force in the global economy, D. Hacklin noticed.
The economic development slant, it was very obvious, again, that the government is behind that. I was struck by the solidarity that there was with the nation behind the economic development. It wasn't regional, and it certainly wasn't by individual district. Everybody was partnering with everybody to bring prosperity and interest to the Chinese development. Their goal is to surpass everybody in the world with their education, with their advancement, with their infrastructure. You can't beat them. We can't beat them with their human resources, with their natural resources. The only thing to do is to join them, and the best way to join them, is, as far as I'm concerned, is to get in early, figure out how to do it, and be a player from the beginning, because the way I see it, there's no other way.
This is Jim Wolf signing off for WVLP's China Report. Thank you for listening.
The China Report has been a production of WVLP LP. Jim Wolf, writer, Justina Siska, producer, Mac McIntyre, editor, Dan Watt, engineer. Our theme music is Green Willow off the CD The River on a Spring Moonlit Night. More information on the music is available online at shlsmusic.com.